Once again, I had a different message that I was going to preach this morning, and it always amazes me, and always makes me, it always reminds me how good God is when He changes something at the last minute, and then reinforces that with a song that Brother Dick sang just a moment ago. We buried one of my cousins yesterday afternoon. There were 12 of us on my dad's side of the family. My dad had two brothers and two sisters. One of his brothers was killed in Pearl Harbor. And so there were four of them left. And the four of them had 12 children. And from the time that I was old enough to remember until I went away to college, I spent every other Sunday afternoon over at my grandmother's house with my aunts and uncles and my 11 cousins. And Lois was the first one of the 12 of us to go to heaven. And she was a lady with a lot of grit. When she first got married, when she was still 19 years old, they'd been married just a year, and she got pregnant. And during her pregnancy, the baby pushed up against her spine. And about halfway through her pregnancy, and then for the rest of her life, she was paralyzed as a result of that from her waist down. But that didn't stop her from living her life. I mean, she went ahead and went to college, got a college degree. She bought her a van where she could drive with her hands. I always kidded her. I said, whenever I know you're driving, I'm not getting on the road. I just can't believe somebody can drive with just their hands. But she did. She played basketball in college. They had a wheelchair team. And not one time, and her pastor mentioned this yesterday in the funeral service, he never heard her, and I never heard her, never one time complain, never one time speak a bitter word, never one time publicly. I don't know, I'm sure she probably did it privately often, but never one time publicly said a word of complaint and ask why she was in the situation she was in. She just took it as God's will for her life, and live life to her fullest. I mean, she didn't miss anything. She was in on everything. A few months ago, they found a tumor in her brain, and it turned out to be cancer. They did chemo over and over and over, and she fought to the very end. But last Thursday, she went to heaven. On Labor Day, my dad and I went to visit her in the hospital, her and her mom. Her dad passed away 5 years ago, and we went to the hospital and visited with her and her mom. She was in and out of consciousness. I mean, she knew us when we first came in, but about halfway through, she didn't know who we were. And we did on Labor Day what all of us do in situations like that. And we did it at the funeral home on yesterday. We reminisced. Talked a lot about Lois. We talked about things that happened in her life, things that she did, things that we did together. My Aunt Meskel had memories. There were many things that were in her conscious mind that she could recall about her daughter that happened, and some of them happened years and years ago. But she could recall them, and just like they happened yesterday. She could remember all the details. She had no trouble in remembering the details. And she could relate them just without any trouble at all. Again, just like they were fresh events that happened in her life and in the life of her daughter. So she had memories. My dad and I had what I would call recollections. They were things that were in our, what I would call our unconscious minds, that we could recall, but the details were fuzzy. And we had to be reminded of some of the details, just of the event or of the thing that happened, so that we could talk about it with his sister and my aunt. And I want to point out to you this morning that there's a difference between a memory and a recollection. And that distinction between those two forms the basis for my message this morning. As I mentioned a moment ago, I had a different sermon that I was going to preach. I was in Memphis on Friday, and I planned to go see my father-in-law on Friday night and come home Saturday, but when we got word that Lois died, I had to change my trip around. And he called yesterday afternoon when we got back from the funeral and asked how everything went, and then asked about the service today. And I told him, well, we were going to have the Lord's Supper. And he made one comment. He said, you know, I always like to have the Lord's Supper and preach about the Lord's Supper and remember what Jesus did on Calvary. And he said, I always compared that memory that I had about what Jesus did to recollections that I had about other things. That's all he said. Well, when we hung up, that phrase, that what he said just kept going over and over in my mind. He said he had a memory of what happened at Calvary compared to recollections that he had about other things that happened in his life. And I thought back to Labor Day when my aunts had memories and could recall in detail what had happened in her daughter's life, where I had to struggle. She was my cousin, and I was part of some of those same events, but I couldn't remember the details. I had to be reminded of what happened. So I got my dictionary down, just my old-fashioned Webster dictionary, and I looked up the word memory, and the dictionary says a memory is a retained mental impression. A retained mental impression. Then I looked up the word recollection, and it says the art or power of recalling to mind. So again, I want to make the distinction. A memory is something that you have retained in your mind. A recollection is something you have to work at to bring back. And my message this morning is that too many of us are, as Christians, we live our Christian life with recollections and not memories. We live our Christian lives with recollections of things that Jesus has done and is doing for us instead of memories. And I want to tell you what I mean, what Brother Chuck, by that. And it got me excited last night as I was finishing up my message. I don't want to live my Christian life with just recollections. I don't want to have to work up the memory or the things that Jesus did for me. I want them to be memories. I want them to be retained in my mind. I don't want to have to work to remember the details. I don't want to have the Lord's Supper, although I praise God for it. But I don't want to have to depend on the Lord's Supper to remind me what Jesus did for me. I don't want it to be a recollection. I want it to be a memory. Jesus said, as often as ye do it in remembrance of me. And he was saying the same thing. I want you to have memories. I want you to have that retained mental impression. I want you to remember in detail certain things. I don't want you to have to work it up. I don't want you to have to be reminded about it. I want you to remember. And I want to mention three things this morning that I think will help us change our lives if we can make them memories instead of recollections. Number one, Jesus says, I want you to remember Calvary. I want you to remember Calvary. I want you to remember how I was arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. I want you to remember the mockery of a trial that I went through. I want you to remember how they turned me over to the soldiers and they slapped me and they punched me and they pulled my beard out and off of my face. I want you to remember how they took me and laid me on that cross and they drove nails through my hands and through my feet. I want you to remember as I hung there on the cross for that period of time, how the sun darkened, how the sun hid itself, and how I suffered on the cross. The Bible says he was beaten to such a degree that as you looked at him, you could not recognize him as a human being. His visage, as the Bible says, was so marred. I want you to remember as he died, the soldier that stuck the spear in his side. And what he says, I don't want that to be a recollection. I don't want you to have to work up that memory as you hear a sermon about it. I don't want you to have to work up those events as you hear a Sunday school lesson about it, or as you take the Lord's Supper, or as you hear a song about it. I want that to be in your mind. I want you to remember the details. I want you to think about it every day, how He who was innocent went to a cross to die for us who are guilty. How He who knew no sin, tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin, went to the cross and paid the price that God demanded for our sins. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah that God laid on Him the iniquities of us all. And what Jesus, I think, says to us this morning is, don't make that a recollection. Don't depend on something to remind you of that. Have it in your mind as a memory. Have it in your mind so that you remember the details. Have it in your mind where you can think about it day after day, moment after moment, and remember, in remembrance of me, what I did for you on the cross. Second, He would say, remember where I am and what I'm doing. Somebody tell me, where's Jesus at this morning? Right hand of God, He's in heaven. He's in heaven. The Bible says, at least the three things that I could remember last night, there's three things that He's doing in heaven. Number one, He's watching us. In Hebrews chapter 12, it talks about that great cloud of witnesses. Wednesday night, we talked about, did Candy tell you about our Bible study Wednesday night, Leonard? Why was Jacob in Hebrews chapter 11? I thought it was a good study. Only he was mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11, that great chapter of the faithful, Abraham and Moses and Isaac and all the other ones. In Hebrews chapter 11, the honor roll of faith. And then it starts out in Hebrews chapter 12, wherefore, seeing we are encompassed with so great a cloud of witnesses, talking about those faithful ones that sat in the grandstand of heaven, says, wherefore, so, because we're encompassed with so great a cloud of witnesses, it says, let us run the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Who do you think is sitting in the grandstand with all those great clouds of witnesses? Who do you think, as Moses sits there, and Isaac sits there, and Abraham sits there, who do you think sitting in the middle of that grandstand, looking at what we do, cheering us on, encouraging us on? I'll tell you exactly who it is. It's the Son of God. It's our Savior, Jesus Christ. He sees everything that we do. He watches what we do. But He does something else. He's serving as our advocate. He's our lawyer. He's our representative. As Dick says, He's sitting at the right hand of God. And as we mess up, as we sometimes do as Christians, and the accuser stands before God the Father. Who's the accuser? Satan is. As the accuser stands before God the Father, and they say, hey, you see that guy down there? He calls himself a Christian. Did you see him mess up, God? Did you see him not do the thing you wanted him to do? Did you see him break one of the Ten Commandments? I mean, not all the other stuff in the Bible, but one of the Ten Commandments. Did you see that? Jesus stands up and says, just a minute, Father. I paid for that one too. Put that one on my account. You can't put that, as David said in the Psalm, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute iniquity. You know, because you're saved, God will never record any more sin on your record. Because I'm saved, God will never record any more sin on my record. Not because I'm perfect, not because I'm not a sinner, but because Jesus paid not only for every sin I've already committed, not only for the sins I'll commit today, He's already paid for all the ones that I'll commit tomorrow, and the next day, and the next day. God will not impute another sin, Millie, to my record. They're paid for under the blood of Jesus Christ. So He's our advocate. But He's doing something else. He's preparing a place for us. John chapter 14, in my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. When you get there, I want you to have a place. I want you to have a mansion. And what Jesus says, I think, to us this morning, don't make that a recollection. Don't just think about it when somebody sings a song about heaven. Don't just think about it when the preacher preaches a sermon about heaven. Don't just work up the facts of it when you read something in your Bible or where you hear a Sunday school lesson about it. Make it a memory. Keep it fresh in your mind. Think about it. Our Savior, the one who died for us, is in heaven, not only watching what we do, but acting as our advocate, preparing a place for us. Have a memory. Have a memory. And then I think Jesus says, number three, remember, I will be back. I will be back. He says in John chapter 14 again, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And I couldn't help but think, as Brother Dick sang that song, we're going to see him again someday. I think it's going to be soon, because he's coming. Just as sure as he came the first time to be born of a virgin, to live a sinless life so he could go to Calvary and die for our sins, he is coming again. Maybe in the morning, maybe at noon, maybe at evening. I think he's coming soon. I think, and I might be wrong, but I think, like some of the apostles did, that before we die, we'll hear the trumpet sound and the angels or Jesus call out, come up hither, and we'll be raptured. Maybe we won't. Maybe we'll see him the moment that we die. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And maybe we'll see him by way of death. But I guarantee you this morning, we're going to see him again. He's coming again. He is coming again. That is a sure promise. Just like the angels, as Dick sang about a moment ago, said to the disciples as they watched as Jesus went up in that cloud. And I sort of think they were sitting there with their mouth open and their eyes aglaze. And these two guys in white clothing were standing beside him. He said, what are you guys standing and staring like that? This same Jesus who's gone up into heaven will come again. Just like he's gone, he will come again. Now, I'd encourage you this morning, don't make that just a recollection. Make it a memory. Don't just work up that the fact that he's coming again when somebody like Brother Dick stands and sings a song like that, or when Chris plays a song about his coming again as an offertory. Don't just make it a recollection. Make it a memory. Keep it fresh in your mind. I had a pastor that used to tell us that every day, every morning when he got up, first thing he did when he got out of bed, he went to a window that looked toward the east. And he said something like this, dear Jesus, is this the day? Is this the day you're coming? I pray that it will be. I'm ready. But if it's not, help me to be busy today helping others get ready for your coming. Every day. If it's going to be a memory, if it's going to be and all these things, if Calvary is going to be a memory, if where Jesus is and what he's doing is going to be a memory, if the fact that he's coming again is going to be a memory, as opposed to a recollection, then keep it in your mind. Think about it day by day. I mean, relive it. Think about Chris played during the Lord's Supper. I should have been crucified. We need to be reminded that we should have hung on the cross. We should have paid for our sins. But Jesus went there in our place, paying for our sins. Think about that. Don't just recall it when you come to church on Sunday or when you hear something on the radio about him dying. Think about it every day. Keep the details fresh in your mind. You have the Son of God who loves us and who gave himself for us. Now, I sort of think as I close that if we do that every day, we'll be like the disciples. We'll be like Paul. I think that's what they did. They didn't make it a recollection. They made it a memory. I think every day of their life, they thought about the crucifixion. Every day of their life, they thought about the things that Jesus taught them that he'd be doing in heaven. Every day of their life, they thought about that promise that the angels made, that Jesus made, that he was coming back. And as they made those things memories, things that were retained in their mind, things they didn't have to work up, I think it helped them think the way Jesus wanted them to think. I think it helped them live the way Jesus wanted them to live. I think it helped them serve the way Jesus wanted them to serve. Because I tell you what, if you live every day of your life remembering the crucifixion, and you live every day of your life remembering where Jesus is at and what he's doing, and if you live every day of your life remembering that he's coming back, it'll keep you thinking right. It'll keep you loving right. It'll keep you living right. And it'll keep you serving right. And there's too many of us that don't have memories, we have recollections. And when we recall the cross, and when we recall where Jesus is and what he's doing, and when we recall that he's coming again, we stay busy for God. But when we don't, we don't. And so this morning, make them memories. Something you think about every single day. Something that you relive every single day. It'll make you a better Christian. Now, some of you can't have those kind of memories because you may not know Jesus as your Savior. You can't have a family memory like I had about my cousin till you're in the family. And you don't get in the family except by coming through Christ. John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name.